All right. Well, I'm back just when you thought you were done with me. Well, you're not. You get more of me. Are you excited about that? You're like, not really. Could we get the guy that was here last week? He was awesome. He was awesome. We had a guest speaker last week. His name was Darius. He came from New Walk Church, which was the church that I was sent out from. So thankful for him coming in and preaching last week for us there. And so that was great. Today, I want to dive back in. We're kind of closing out our series seasons. We've been in this series for 6 weeks now. This is the sixth week. If you've missed any of it, we've kind of been looking at the life of Joseph. And in, you know, we kind of see all the seasons of change that were taking place in Joseph's life, kind of examining each one and how it kind of affects us and how we can, man, learn from the things that Joseph did. And so I want to quickly recap. If you don't know Joseph's story, and I'm talking about Joseph from the Old Testament, you can find his story in Genesis chapter 37, and it goes all the way through Genesis 50. And it's an awesome story. It's rich. It's full of so much. But let me recap really quick, just kind of the things about Joseph's life, if you didn't know all of it. Joseph was the son of Jacob. He was not the youngest, but second to youngest son. He was the firstborn son of Jacob and Rachel. And so he was kind of the favorite son. And Jacob kind of made that known that Joseph was the favorite son and kind of did things a little bit different for him, made him this coat of many colors and kind of just favorited him. And we talked about how that's really not a good thing to do and it can lead to bad things, and it did. And so, you know, Joseph's the favorite and he's doing these things and he's daddy's boy and he's kind of tattling on his older brothers. And then he has these dreams about how his brothers and his father and his mother one day are going to bow down to him. It did not go well after this. The brothers hated him. And one day when Joseph was going out to kind of just report back what they were doing, they plotted this scheme to kill him. One of the brothers is like, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. That was Reuben. Reuben was like, I'm going to go back and get him. But they ended up selling Joseph into slavery. And so he sold into slavery into an Egyptian officer. His name's Potiphar. And he quickly finds out, the master finds out that Joseph has God's favor. And he becomes the master of Potiphar's house. And during this time, his master's wife has eyes for Joseph. Joseph's like, nah, nah, nah. And she's like, let's go. And he says no, but she then lies about him, gets him thrown in prison. So then he spends years in prison. And in the prison, he finds favor with God again. And the prison warden puts him in charge of the prison. While he's in the prison, he meets two of the Pharaoh's kind of officers, the cupbearer and the baker, and they have these dreams. And Joseph interprets these dreams for them. One of the guys dies. It's horrible. And another guy goes back to the Pharaoh. And Joseph says to him, hey, don't forget about me when you go back to the Pharaoh. Let him know that I'm here and that I'm a Hebrew and that I'm here unjustly. And sadly, the cupbearer forgot. But the Pharaoh later has some dreams. And no one in the land can interpret these dreams. And the cupbearer is like, oh, yeah, this was like 2 years later. Oh, yeah, there's this guy in prison. His name is Joseph. He told me my dream and another guy's dream. And they happened exactly the way they said. So they bring him out. He tells the Pharaoh, hey, you're going to have 7 years of famine. Or 7 years of plenty, and then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And what you need to do in the 7 years of plenty is store up for the years of famine. This takes place. The Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of everything in the land. He is second in command to Pharaoh. Like, there's the only person above Joseph is Pharaoh. And he sets out this plan to store up the food. The famine hits. And lo and behold, the brothers who threw Joseph into the pit, sold him into slavery, they come looking for grain, and who do they run into? It's Joseph. And then you see this beautiful story of forgiveness and redemption. And in this one moment, kind of my favorite line is that Joseph's like, hey, you don't need to be fearful or afraid because God sent me here before you to save you. Now, so I wanted to give you that quick recap. As we talk today about what I'm titling Seasons of Change. How many of you would say that you've gone through some seasons of change this year, right? And it's all good change, right? Like, it's been really awesome. And you're like, I'm going to put my hand down for that one. And that's the thing. Sometimes with seasons of change, it's really hard to understand why we're going through that change. And this is what happened and took place with Joseph. And I'll get into that in a minute. Now, I was just thinking about it. And you guys have all done changes. If you're online watching, you've been through changes. Some of them have been horrible, and you've been forced into them, and you don't like them, right? Like, how many of you are like, I love wearing a mask everywhere that I go? Yes, it's my favorite. I hate it. We were just talking about it messes with my beard, and like, if I wear a mask, my beard starts going like this, And so we were talking, I was like, someone needs to invent a beard mask. And my boy Varney told me about something they have invented called the beard tarp. So if you want to get me something for Christmas, I'll take a beard tarp. Anyway, I don't know where you find that. So we've gone through these changes. I was sitting this past week just thinking about the change that took place. And one of the things that dawned on me, and we're foster parents, and we go through seasons of change all the time because we're foster parents. But I didn't even realize that this year alone, we have had 4 foster kids come into our house and leave our house. And like, everything else was going on, and there's all this change going on, and there's change and transition, and every child that comes into our home, it's different, and how we handle it's different. It brings on this immense change of how we operate as a family, of how we deal with things, of how we move forward, of how we're learning and growing through these seasons as we deal with these kids that come into our home. But four kids have come into our home in a very, very difficult season. And there were times of blessing and there were times of difficulty, but we learned and we grew through it all. I was thinking about the change that we've experienced as a church. Churches in general. We were at meeting at an elementary school, and man, the COVID hits, and we're out of the school just like that, and we're scurrying to find out how do we do church? What does church look like? Everything's going online, and we don't even have a building. We don't know what we're doing, and so there was just these 2 months where we're just like, okay, let's find a place where we can record service, put service online, and hope for the best, hope that we can stay afloat, hope that people come and watch, and there's this change, and all that change led us to this building. And I always talk about how, like, man, if COVID hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here. So, man, the change that's difficult sometimes leads you to things that are good, and it's hard to see it in the middle of it. And so we experience this change, and we're constantly changing. We're constantly adapting. 2020 brought some major change. And I know there's been some forced adaptation where we kind of had to fall in line, right? But I wonder, with the change that has been brought to your life, how have you adapted? Have you done well with that? And really, the key question I want to ask you is, have you remained faithful to God in the change that has happened in your life? We go back to Joseph and each one of those little areas, right? He goes from being the favorite son to being hated by his brothers. He's tossed into a pit. He's sold into slavery. He's made the master of his house. He's then falsely accused and thrown in prison, and then he's made warden of the prison. And then, he tells these dreams to these guys, and they forget about him. So you see this ebb and flow of change in Joseph's life. And one of the key things that we get to see about Joseph in this story is that in each moment, he never lost his faith. He believed in a God who was faithful. He believed in a God whose plans are going to be brought forward and bring him glory. Joseph never lost sight of God's plans and of God's hand on his life. And maybe he remembered the dreams that God gave him. He didn't fully understand what those dreams meant, but he's like, hey, I had this dream. This is all set into motion for some reason. In Genesis 45, 7-8. This is one of my favorite verses in this whole story. And this is when he comes together with his brothers and they're reunified. And he says this: God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Man, take that in real quick. We like to blame other people for the places that we're in and the things that we're going through. But have you realized that maybe it's God that has sent you there for a specific reason? One, you can't fully know while you're going through it, but maybe it could bring out great deliverance. It was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Joseph had to endure, close to 20 years of ups and downs, of changes, of going through difficult seasons. But through it all, he was faithful, and in the end, he got to see God work and move in a mighty way. He got to see God deliver a people. First and foremost, his people, right, the Israelites. But Joseph was also able to help everyone in the land by providing them with food so they wouldn't starve. And you read something like this, and you kind of have to begin to shift your perspective on what you're going through, right? Because at any given moment, my brothers hate me, they wanted to kill me, they threw me in a pit, I was sold into slavery, I was the master of a house, this woman accused me of sin that I didn't do, I was thrown into prison, like, all of these things, Joseph could have been like, I'm done. Like, God, like, I was hopeful, but after the fifth time of me going like, bam, hitting the bottom, I was done. But he never lost his perspective of who God was and what he's doing. And so I wonder, in your life, do you need to shift your perspective? I think oftentimes, and for us, in order to be made aware of a problem that we may have in our life, we may have to be brought to the bottom. Just to see, you know what? What was happening wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe I wasn't as thankful. Maybe I wasn't as grateful. Maybe I didn't realize how good I had it. Or maybe you need to be brought to the bottom so that your perspective can change on what God is trying to do in your life and through your life. Sometimes we have to be brought to the bottom. And that's, I mean, look at the different areas where Joseph was brought low. I talked 2 weeks ago about how I think in Joseph's life, because he was daddy's favorite, and because, man, everyone kind of praised him and glorified him, because he had this dream where everyone's going to bow down, I think he got to a place where he was really prideful, and God brought him low and said, hey, in your low, can you still remain faithful? And maybe in your seasons of change this year, God is trying to test your faith. In the low, have you remained faithful? You know, you think about all the things that maybe wouldn't have happened if COVID wouldn't have taken place, right? Think about all the things that maybe wouldn't have happened if Joseph wouldn't have shared his dreams with his brothers, if Joseph wouldn't have been sold into slavery. I mean, how many people would have died because of the famine? But you think about all these things that wouldn't have happened. Of course, I think we instantly begin to think, okay, you know, COVID took place. There's all these horrible things going on. And we look at the bad, right? It's so easy for us to focus on the bad. The enemy likes to whisper, hey, look at all these bad things are going on. But what about the good that's taking place? We've been forced into a few things. There's been change that's been going on. I wonder, what has that done for your relationships? If you focus on it, it could help your relationships, because what we all got to do is slow down and focus on one another. So there's good. Or maybe it's just you should have been focusing on how you needed to change some of your priorities. You were too worried about success. You were too worried about achievement. You were too worried about gaining money, materials, or whatever. You were too worried about, man, meeting the expectations of your boss or other people, that you forgot about the priorities of the people in around your life that you need to be focusing on. Maybe it's a healthier family. You know what's crazy about this year? I know we've been all afraid of COVID, but my kids have been the least sick than they ever been any other year. Just think about that. I've hadn't had to deal with throw-ups and midnight diarrheas and all these other things because, well, they've been isolated. They've been quarantined. They've been using hand sanitizer. They've been wearing masks. They've been clean for once, right? It's like, all right, this is great. I don't have to worry about it. When you have a home that has like 7 people, and if one gets sick, it just runs through the house. So I'm praising Jesus for a healthier family this year. Healthier. That's, yeah, we got to look at the good. And what about working from home? I know maybe it's a struggle and you don't like it, but some people are like, I will work from home the rest of my life and it would be fantastic if I never had to drive into work, if I never had to make that commute. Like, you begin, okay, we can see that there is bad, but let's focus on the good. Let's focus on the good that's taking place and the good that God has and the change that's taking place. Maybe you lost a job, but now there's an opportunity for an even better one that pays more, that there's more benefits, or maybe there's a business opportunity. There is good in the change if we don't stay focused on the bad, if we change our perspective. I think the other thing, as far as change goes and as far as the things that God takes us through, is I think oftentimes he wants to tear down the idols that we have constructed in our lives. The idols of work, the idols of money, the idols of the way things have always been. Well, that's not how I have done it, so I can't do it that way. The idols of selfishness and pride. Like, God maybe is trying to tear down your idols of the past so that he can build a better future for you. but it's going to cause some change. Cause him to bring you to the bottom so that you can begin to change your perspective. And here's the key in all of it. And I talked about it in Joseph. The key to adapting to changing seasons is not changing your commitment from Jesus. That's my boy right there. He's good. Thank you, buddy. He's an amen. It's been hard this year, right? Because churches got shut down. And we were all kind of given an excuse to not go when they opened back up. We can go to the beach and the mall and all these other places, but on Sunday there's church and I don't know anymore. And then I also think in the midst of this change, we have gone through difficult times. And in that, we begin to question God and his motives and what he's doing and why he's doing it and why he's doing it to us and why do we have to go through this. And we begin to push back from God and being committed to God and living to God and reading his word and worshiping him and going to church. And meanwhile, he's saying, man, in the midst of this change, you know what you need more than anything is you need to draw closer to me. And that doesn't necessarily have to happen at church, y'all. I want you here. I want to be in community with you. But if your faith is solely based off your attendance to church, you got it based off the wrong thing. Because your faith and your commitment to Jesus in your everyday life has to happen every day. The church is here for accountability. The church is here for discipling. The church is here for community. The church is here for serving. The church is here for preaching and teaching and equipping the saints for the good work that they go out and do in their homes, in their community, in their school, in their workplace. But I think we got to a place, number one, where fear was ruling us. I can't do any of that, COVID. I can't talk to those people because they're too far away because 6 feet. They can't understand what I'm saying. Also, I don't know if my hands are clean, so I might just not do it. I can't go to church because, you know, COVID. I can't read my Bible because I don't have time. Do you have time, though? I had time. I had all kinds of time. I mean, I went through some series, you know what I'm saying? Like, I watched a couple series a couple times. Mandalorian, watched that twice, watching the new season now. It's fantastic. We say we don't have time. Oh, man, the Bible, it's hard to read the Bible. Listen to it. Shoot, man, because technology, we have been given everything that we need to provide for our spiritual health every single day of our life, and it's right in our back pocket every single day. It's priorities. The key to adapting to changes seasons is not pushing away from God because of the change that is causing difficulty in your life. It's drawing closer to him and in your weakness and in the change saying, God, I need you even more. God, I got to commit to you even more. It can happen here, but it needs to happen in your everyday life. James 1:2, it says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed is the man or the woman who remains steadfast even in seasons of change, for when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. It's James saying, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, stay steadfast in your faith. Now, I want to be sensitive because I'm talking about seeing the good, and we've lost loved ones. People have gotten sick and they've been in the ICU. Other tragedies have taken place like they do every year outside of COVID. So change may be harder for some than others. And I know it's difficult and adapting may be more intense or might take more from you, but that's all the more reason to lean into God, to stay hopeful and to stay faithful. If you're struggling more than others, if you're having a hard time, if you're losing hope, if you're feeling defeated, if you have these feelings, like, listen to you, my people online, I know many of you want to be here, but for whatever reason, health reason, whatever it may be, I know you're feeling isolated. I know you're feeling disconnected. And my heart goes out to you. Because, in the moments where we had to quarantine or isolate and be away from people, whether it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it is so hard, but you've been living it for 6-7 months now, and my heart goes out to you. And here's what I'll say: if you're feeling overwhelmed by the change, by the difficulty, everything that's going on, here's my question to you. In the changing seasons, have you drawn closer to God in order to get through them? Because when we're facing stuff like this, number one, we can't do it alone, and we shouldn't try to do it alone. But we absolutely need to draw from God to remain hopeful, to remain joyful, to remain, man, just like we understand that God's plans are working. But in the change, some of our avenues upon which we connected to God and connected to people was at church, and those things have been taken away, and maybe we've just given up. Maybe we just don't have the drive anymore. You know, like I said, the church is a place where you can be discipled and be encouraged and be inspired, and we want that for you. We want that for each and every one of you. But at the end of the day, your faith, my faith, it's up to us. So in seasons, like the seasons we've been through, where we do get isolated, where we do get separated, where we don't have community, where we don't have accountability, where we don't have encouragement, where we don't have each other, we can still lean on the promises of God and hold fast to his word. And that can get us through, even when we don't have one another. And I know, like, seeing and experiencing, like, faith in others, it encourages and inspires us. But for you and I, like, we got to own our own faith every single day. Yes, we want you here. Yes, we want you watching online. Yes, we want you learning and growing, but it can't just happen on Sunday. It has to be something that you and I go for every single day. It's up to you. Let's go back to Joseph. So he's going through all these ups and downs and these difficult changes of season. And Joseph was an outsider. The God he worshiped was not the God that the Egyptians worshiped. You ready for this? Joseph stood alone in every season that he faced. He stood alone. And while he may not have had the support of his family or his father or his mother or people that believe the same thing as him, and he stood alone, physically speaking, he held fast. He remained steadfast in his faith to who God was. He knew that he was never alone because God would always be with him. God would always guide him. God would always help him. I think that's important for us to realize. No matter how alone or isolated you feel, if you remain faithful and hopeful, God is always there to help you and to guide you. Continue to pursue him even when you're at the bottom. And I'll even say continue to pursue him when you're at the top. Because I think sometimes when we're at the top and everything's going great, we begin to boast in ourselves and not in God. So we got to pursue him, and we got to make sure that we're going after him. And I know sometimes it's hard to understand why God has us going through the things we go through. And we may never fully understand why God has us going through the things we go through, but oftentimes you get to look back, right? You're like, man, that 2020 was horrible. 2021, 2022, you look back and you say, wow, can you believe what God did in that season and how God worked and how he moved? You see, it's hard to see it over here. When you're going through it, you kind of have this like tunnel vision, right? You can only see what's ahead of you. You can only see the change that's happening, but you can't see God's greater plan. And this is what God did in Joseph's life. He gave him the dream, so he kind of had an inkling of what was going to take place. And God the whole time was orchestrating this thing where Joseph was going to go through all these difficult times and eventually be at the top in power in Egypt, saving an entire nation, saving so many people, rescuing his family, his brothers, his sisters, those who hurt him. God put it all in place. And in that moment where I share, where he's reconciled with his brothers, man, he goes, guys, you don't need to worry because this was God's plan all along. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, we all have regrets and mistakes along the way, and it was difficult, but God had a plan all along. Got to stay hopeful in that. Joseph realized that God sent him there to save him. And this is the same thing with Jesus. Man, I was, this is really odd. I was taking a shower the other day, and I had this, like, revelation. I get some really good thoughts in the shower. Anyone else? I don't know why. Maybe it's like the running water. I got nothing else. I don't have my phone. I don't know. But man, I'm sitting there. I'm thinking about Joseph's story and everything that went on. I'm thinking about how, man, Joseph was sent ahead of them to save them. And then I got to thinking about Jesus and how he was sent here to save us. And I got to thinking about these parallels between Joseph's story and what Jesus did. You ready for this? Joseph was betrayed by his brother, Judah. Judah was the oldest. Should have been the one that should have been protecting him the whole time. But this is the guy that said, you know what, let's kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. Let's sell him into slavery. He was betrayed. You know who else betrayed? Jesus. Now, in the midst of this, there was another brother. His name was Reuben. Reuben stood up for Joseph and said, no, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in the pit. And then Reuben was going to be like, I'm going to save him later. Let's do that. And man, he was like, this isn't going to happen. You remember when Peter stood up and cut some guy's ear off? And Jesus was like, hey, man, don't do that. And he slapped that guy's ear back on. Same thing, right? And so you got Reuben standing up for Joseph, but this thing still takes place. And so he gets tossed in a pit and he gets sold into slavery. And then he gets accused and imprisoned for a sin that he never did, right? You know how Jesus was put on the cross, not for his sin, but our sin. And then as he's on the cross, he dies, right? And he experiences all the things that sin bring with it, the death. 3 days, he's dead, going to bat for you and I for our sin. But then he raises victorious, right? And so, like, I think about Joseph's story. Like, everyone that knew Joseph thought he was dead, thought it was done. Everyone that knew Jesus thought he was dead and thought it was done. But guess what? Joseph was still alive. Joseph brought redemption. Joseph brought forgiveness. Joseph brought salvation to his people and to his brothers. And Jesus does that for you and I. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at that. Like, it's so cool, the parallels here. Listen, the enemy likes to cause us to think that he's victorious as we're going through these difficult things. But man, when we stay faithful in God, he'll say, listen, I got a plan. The enemy don't know what he's talking about. It's going to be good. It's going to be for my glory. You don't got to worry about it because Jesus is victorious. Man, here's the deal. If you're here, if you're breathing, if you're watching and you're living and you're breathing, God has a purpose and a plan for you, no matter how hard it is for you right now. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. You may not understand why God is treating you this way or doing this to you, but man, be faithful to who he is and what he has for you. Stay focused, stay driven, stay hopeful, stay joyful, stay vigilant, stay with God, remain steadfast. I'm gonna read James 1:12 again. I'm gonna have the band come up. It says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive what? The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. One quick note here. In our lifetime, we will face sorrow. And maybe we will see that sorrow turn to joy. And that's my hope for you, that you do get to see your sorrow turn to joy. But even if it doesn't, the Bible promises us that we have something so much greater to look forward to. If we stay hopeful, if we stay faithful, what's it say? It's we got the promise of the crown of life for those who love him. See, we understand that our commitment to love God in the good and the bad, through the changing seasons, through the difficult seasons, whatever it may be, in our commitment to love God, we will receive something so much greater than this world could ever offer us. It's this crown of life. It's victory, right, over sin and over death. Because if you've given your life to Jesus, if you recognized who he is, if you commit to living for him every day, no matter what happens to you in the here and now, we got a promise that is so much better waiting for us in heaven. Let's hold fast to that. But even while we're here, just know, man, like, God is doing something. And he may use your pain to accomplish joy for someone else. And that's difficult. You think about all these old, the heroes of faith, and you think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and, you know, God said, hey, this is going to happen for your people. There's going to be a Savior one day. They didn't get to see it. They still went through it and sacrificed for it so that others could experience it. Maybe in your season of change, God is trying to teach you something, show you something, change your perspective. And it might not even be for your benefit. Maybe it will be for someone else's. And maybe, just maybe, as you hold on to your faith in Jesus through that, you can showcase that faith to someone else who needs Jesus in their life, right here and right now. Because just imagine going through this year without the hope of Jesus Christ in our lives. Y'all, I wouldn't have made it. And I know that's true for some of you. And there are people that you work with. There are people in your neighborhoods. You have family members who you know have been going through this year, through these seasons of change, without the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. Let's remain steadfast in our faith, no matter the season of change we go through, so that we can bring that joy and that hope to everyone around us. I'm going to ask that you guys would pray with me. God, right now, I thank you for the word that you've given us, that your spirit has spoken. It's been a tough year. If you would have asked us, we would have ever thought we would experience a year like this in 2020. No one would have. And it's more than just the pandemic of COVID. There's so many other things that are taking place, changes that are happening. God, I can sense that there are people that are teetering on the edge of that line of losing hope and giving up versus remaining steadfast and faithful in you. God, I pray right now that through your word, through James 1:12, that you would encourage them to hold on for a little bit longer. God, because you are doing something. You have a plan and you're orchestrating it. And when we get to see and experience that plan in its fullness, we'll be blown away. God, I pray we hold on. I also pray, God, that for those that have been going through this on their own and not sharing and not bringing other people alongside them, that they would just tear down the pride and let people in. Because the enemy wants nothing more than for us to go through our pain and our seasons of change alone. Don't go through it alone. God, I pray that you would encourage us today in the seasons that we've already faced. God, and that you empower us and strengthen us for the seasons that are to come. As 2020 may be coming to an end soon, it doesn't mean 2021 is going to be any different or be any less difficult to live through. We live in a fallen, sinful, broken world. And there's only one hope that we can hold on to get us through, and that is your son, and his name is Jesus. And I pray that everyone that can hear this today would draw in closer to you, no matter what they're going through. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.